Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming babies, seats, 50 ads and popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, because Doug loves movies.
Hey everybody, my name is Doug and I love movies. This is Doug Loves Movies, coming to you for the last time at 7:30 at the UCB Theater in Hollywood. Starting January 8th, the weekly show will be at 7, and it will still be free. And folks with tickets to Put Your Hands Together, the new stand-up comedy show that's going to follow this show every week with a lot of the same great acts that you're used to seeing on Comedy Bang Bang, formerly Comedy Death Ray, formerly Not a Thing. Now also not a thing. It's still a thing. It's a podcast. Anyway, you can stay in your sweet, sweet seats if you come to see the Douglas movies before Put Your Hands Together. It's December 11th, Two Oceans 12. Since last I spoke and you listened, I went through a motion picture gauntlet in Austin, Texas, doing a Benson movie interruption and two Master Pancake shows at the Alamo Drafthouse Ritz, and then attending Harry Knowles' Butt-Numathon, a 24-hour marathon of 11 feature films, some old, some premieres, plus old and new trailers, and drop-ins by filmmakers involved to do Q&A sessions. For 24, turned out to be 26 straight hours, and I could not have been happier about it. I went into it thinking, oh, fuck, how am I going to stay awake through 11 movies back to back? But it turns out there's a 10-minute break in between each one, and there's a beautiful outdoors waiting for me to go out and do my thing. And as long as I masturbated in between every movie... No, I got through it, and I did this thing a few times where your head starts to bob, but I stuck with it through every goddamn movie, and it's a fantastic event that I will attend every year from now on that I am allowed. And one of the films was the 48 frames per second 3D version of The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey, and I liked the movie, especially the Gollum part, and the action sequences are the best parts. And this is one of the few times that the 3D didn't give me a headache. But at the same time, the 48 frames thing, if you guys heard about this, like 5% of the theater showing this movie, it's going to be 48 frames per second instead of the regular 24. And the idea is it makes it all look even more real and sharp and crisp. But to me, it made it look like I was watching like a HD special about people who dress up like Lord of the Rings characters.
and then walk around on the side of a mountain.
It just looks like TV. It's weird, and it totally takes me out of the Middle Earth thing. But like the scenes that are like more at night and have more action work better in that format. But it's still interesting, and Peter Jackson is a crazy motherfucker. 2 hours and 46 minutes long, and it's the first of three parts, and it's one book. Like, I think the Harry Potter and Twilight movies have really fucking cracked open this, why tell the story of a book in one movie? Why not break it up into three or four parts? Just one book. Now it's time for tweet relief, tweets about movies. At Harry Says Shtick tweeted, a more appropriate title for Skyfall would have been No Country for Old M. This has been Tweet Relief, tweets about movies. Yeah, give it up for Harry Says Shtick. Follow that a-hole. Hey, weed got legal in Washington State as a few days ago, so I am bringing Doug Loves Movies to Parlor Live in Bellevue, Washington on Saturday, January 12th at 4:20. It was the soonest booking I could get. Now it's time for Not For Metaphobes. I saw the premiere of The Impossible last night. Pretty intense movie in general, some pretty gnarly shit in there. But there's a hospital scene with some of the most disgusting on-screen vomiting I have ever seen. So gross. This has been Not For Metaphobes. I guess I should give more of a warning. A hospital scene, that's a pretty good warning. I don't want to say too much more because it gives it away. Prize bag. Let's look in the prize bag. A lot of great stuff. One of the people here tonight is featured in the film I Love You, Man. So there's a DVD or a Blu-ray of that. And then my Doug Digs It is a copy of Marley and Me. Watch fucking Marley and Me and don't tell me you didn't cry at the end, and then I will kick you in the balls. And I'll teach you how to cry. Such an angry attitude about Marley and Me. A CD by a person that's going to be out here in a second. A book I know nothing about called Ready Player One. It was in my Butnumathon swag bag. They even give you swag, and people can bring pillows and just crash out during the black and white movie at 5 in the morning. And I loved it. This is another thing from the Butnumathon. Swag bag, my CD. Oh, I love this. This is from Butnumathon also. It's a Christmas card where it's Salacious Crumb in an ugly Christmas sweater holding a candy cane and sitting next to Slave Leia. That's a pretty nice Christmas card. If I had anybody that I would send a Christmas card to, that's what I would have done with it. And a Douglas Movies t-shirt. I spilled the news that this gentleman was going to be here, but some of you may still be surprised by it. But please give a big warm welcome to Rob Hubel, Anthony Jeselnik, and Mr. Leonard Maltin.
Before we begin, Doug, I just want to thank Leonard for getting us super high backstage.
You're welcome.
He's such a good guy. Fourth time on the show.
But who's counting?
Leonard Maltin, everybody. Come on. Can you believe it?
You may not know that I'm here at a moment of high controversy in my career.
I'm well aware of the controversy because we are now attached in the world of the Twitterverse.
Ah,
and I have gotten a gazillion tweets. Mm-hmm. Many are quite angry in tone.
That's right.
That Mr. Leonard Maltin, our beloved Leonard Maltin, is the only reason that Playing for Keeps hasn't gotten an absolute zero from the critics on Rotten Tomatoes.
Right.
You are the holdout.
Yeah.
And your review could not be more disinterested in the film you saw.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's. I don't praise the film, I don't defend the film. I just call it as I see it. It's a kind of a mediocre romantic comedy drama with attractive people going about their business.
Yeah, who's it going to hurt?
A predictable script.
Give it an okay review.
Exactly. It's an inoffensive
movie. Worst movie.
Exactly.
Do you get to see Gerard Butler's dick or balls? No.
I don't recall.
Don't remember? Yeah.
No.
Could you not ask the questions that I've prepared before I have a chance to ask them? It's rude, but it's Rob Hubel, everybody. Rob Hubel is here.
So and, I don't think that comes with the ticket of admission.
DVD. Maybe it's on the DVD.
That's right. But can you believe that it's over this movie that there is this thunderstorm online and in the Twitterverse? I mean, really, that's what we're talking about.
But it's fun.
Discourse.
You really stuck your neck out.
I screwed them up.
And you you did them a solid, actually, because that's the only way people are going to hear about this movie is through this. As soon as I saw the ad, I was like, finally, fall down laughing comedy starring Gerard Butler and Jessica Biel and Catherine Zeta-Jones and Dennis Quaid.
Yeah.
What a laugh riot this is going to be. You cannot find four funnier humans.
Not to mention Uma Thurman.
And Uma Thurman.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I left her out because she's awesome sometimes.
How come no one's mentioning soccer?
Is it in the trailer? I haven't really paid attention to the trailer, but do they show soccer in it?
Soccer figures prominently in the movie.
It's like dancing in Silver Linings Playbook.
The only reason soccer is in that movie is so like German people will go see that movie.
It worked for ladybugs. So you're what's happening?
We just had a mention.
Don't
of
TJ Miller me, Leonard.
I don't know. When I walked in tonight, I didn't think there would be a reference to ladybugs tonight. I was just kind
oh,
of.
Oh yeah. You know, no, well, I'll throw them nice. All out there. We'll see what happens. But let's introduce Anthony Jeselnik really quickly because he, of course, is a fan favorite.
I just picked to win
the Leonard Maltin game tonight, by the way.
No offense.
What?
It's great. I've been on the show with Rob before. I've never been on the show with the great Leonard Maltin, who I like to refer to as Lucky Roger Ebert. you really dodged a bullet there. Several bullets. Yeah.
You have a special debuting on Comedy Central.
I've got
on
so much shit coming
Sunday
up.
Night called Caligula.
That's the 13th of January. When is this
what?
Airing?
Yeah. 13th of January? I just saw a thing that made it seem like it was this Sunday.
I don't think you read the thing.
We've got 13th of something. January 13th, look for that. And why is it called Caligula?
Because I named my album Shakespeare and I want to do another like historic name, and I like that people don't really know who Caligula was, even though they should. Plus it was the most famous porn movie of all time. So people should know. I have a joke in there about that mentions Caligula.
Oh,
I've
cool.
I've got that. I'm gonna be on Leno January 10th. Why aren't you writing this down? And then
they
I just
do
work
when
on my TV
to
show.
Them.
The Jeselnik Offensive, that'll be on February 19th, Tuesday.
Sounds sweet.
So replay this.
Okay. You know how podcasting works, right? Just listeners, make a note, listeners, to listen to this one once a month for the next couple of months. And
I'm
grateful he did his plugs in the beginning instead of waiting until
the end. I
have to
do that because I'm never coming back here.
Now, Caligula, did you ever see the movie?
Yeah, I mean, parts of it.
Of course, Leonard has. Leonard gave it 1.5 stars, and you wrote a sentence I'd like to ask you about. Mm-hmm. You wrote, chutzpah and 6 minutes of not bad hardcore footage. I don't even need to finish the sentence. Earned this half a star. So yeah. Half a star was devoted just to the chutzpah and the 6 minutes of not bad hardcore footage. So do you have anything to say about that?
No. Nothing that won't get me in trouble. In one degree or another. I mean, as you know, I have a staff, a wonderful team of people who write this book with me, the Movie Guide, every year. You're referring to the Movie Guide, of course. You're referring
to that
paperback book that makes such a great stocking stuffer. Yes,
yes.
Right.
The app is not as good a stocking stuffer as the book, for sure.
Plus, I think he's referring to that email.
Never mind. But
puts his microphone down.
One of my hardy contributors wrote that review.
Oh, sure. So next time you're on, find out which one it was, and talk to them about where they came up with the expression "not bad hardcore."
That's
and like, why every review in this book doesn't say there was no hardcore in this movie? So we're docking it half a star.
That's
for
just
that.
A given. Just
I wonder
a given.
If there was any not bad hardcore in Playing for Keeps. I would
Not in the theatrically released version.
Right, again on the DVD.
Now, Leonard, what did you expect from What to Expect when you're expecting?
Oh God!
Like, do you go into a movie like that?
I'm sorry,
like,
I was in a shitty movie.
With your head, with your head down low. Do you just walk in? I'm sure you were a highlight of that shitty movie. I never saw it, but they certainly sold it like it was Rob Hubel walking around with a baby, the movie.
Yeah,
they sold it.
They sneakily put us in the billboards for that. Like, we didn't know that. And then I was like, oh, I'm not really in that movie. And then I was like on the billboard. So, yeah, I don't know why they did that.
But you got a trip to Atlanta out of it, right?
It was Atlanta's sweet. It's pretty sweet. In August, outside, ooh, wow, with babies,
zombies.
It's pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's a shitty movie. You don't need to see that movie. It's actually not that shitty.
No,
it's not that bad.
Yeah, it's not that bad.
You have been in worse movies.
That's actually true.
But you've got a movie that's going to be playing in Sundance.
Yeah. Called Hell Baby. Tom Lennon and Ben Grant's movie. Yep.
Yeah.
Great.
So that's
Rob
exciting.
Corddry. Yeah, it's good. Keegan-Michael Key.
Yeah, you could go on and on.
Yeah, I could name a lot of people. Kumail.
How many names do you think you can get it in?
It's already started. I can name that movie in five names because I was in it.
Paul Scheer.
Yeah. But yeah, it's supposed to be really good. I haven't seen it.
I got to see a screening of it, and I'm going to hold my opinion till later.
You son of a... What does that mean?
Means I didn't like it. If I liked it, I'd just say so.
Hey, man.
You like The Hobbit more than I did.
First of all, I don't know how you know that. It must have been a bit of a snooze for you.
It was a bit of a snooze.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because it's just endless.
Yeah. It doesn't. Here's the Hobbit.
It's the whole history of the Middle Earth.
I know. Well, after you get past the sort of the introductory section of the film, in the Shire, when they all call on Bilbo Baggins in his little home, and you meet these dwarves who are indistinguishable from one another.
There's a fat one. There's one that looks like Bruce Valanche.
Yeah. And then they start on their quest, right, on this journey. So they go on this journey. Gandalf has sort of sent them on this journey and convinced Bilbo to go on this quest. And then they run into a group of really ugly monsters, really ugly, and they have a big battle.
Are the monsters real?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hyper real in 48 frames per second.
Sure they are.
And, yeah. And then they journey on and they meet another group of hideously ugly monsters and have another big battle.
Oh, boy.
Which is followed by a little more journey and then another battle with another group of really ugly, hideous monsters.
Man.
The whole damn movie.
Yeah, it's like you're relieved when they stop to solve some riddles.
Yes.
That's the part where you're like, oh, now I'm in. I know what riddles are.
And does the guy from the British office do that adorable thing where he looks into the camera and goes...
Yeah, that's the weird thing about this one is it's found footage style.
That's right. He's very likable. Martin Freeman is very likable, and that's good casting.
Yeah, yeah.
But
my problem is I don't like beards, so I have no interest.
Oh well, this is the wrong movie for you.
I just noticed you have a beard.
Yes. Well, you did. Do you have the same reaction in person as you do in
no.
the movie theaters?
No, in okay. person, love them. On screen, ugh, make
home
me
free.
Sick.
Home
makes
free.
Me sick.
That was a narrow escape.
Yeah.
That was a narrow escape.
Leonard, what's the highest number of films that you've seen in a 24-hour period?
You beat me. You've
with
absolutely topped me, yeah. Seven is the most I've seen. And those were old movies, which were not 2 hours and 46 minutes long. But
they push it, though, sometimes.
Do
you know that movie Nightmare Alley?
Yeah.
That movie could have ended five times. It was like they needed to keep going for
well,
some
but you
reason.
You wouldn't change the ultimate ending, though, of that movie, would you?
No,
that's,
no.
It's a great ending.
They could have gotten there quicker, though.
Often true.
It is quite a shocking ending.
Yes, it is.
I was very pleased by it.
I feel like you guys are the only one that know what you're talking about. No one else here.
It's true.
Please
we
don't
can't,
spoil Nightmare Alley for
we
us.
We can't say. Everyone, we can't say for two reasons.
Everyone,
we don't want to spoil it for you because yes. you're never going to see it anyway.
Everyone listening to this at work is like, fucking fast forward this podcast.
But we saw White Heat
yeah.
and... you know, I think everyone knows that at the end of White Heat, Jimmy Cagney is on top of that some sort of power plant or something, and he screams,
"Oil refinery."
No, an oil refinery, and he goes, "I'm on top of the world, Ma!" Right? Everybody knows that.
This is like listening to someone describe their vacation. No one cares what movies you saw.
But I'm saying a specific thing about this movie that'll be fun when you hear all of it.
So, I mean, now did you just.
So, hang on.
Yeah. I'm there.
Come on, don't Pete Holmes me.
No.
He goes, "I'm on top of the world, Ma." And then some guy shoots, and the whole oil tank explodes, and he bursts into flame. And it's hilarious because it's just so weird. He's like, "I'm on top of the world," bang, and then he's done. And then they have to do this in old movies. Then they cut to a guy on the ground, one of the cops, looks at one of the other cops and goes, "You know, that guy wanted the world. And in the end, he got it." And then it says the end and has the dramatic music. So all right, you're right, Anthony. That was a horrible vacation. That's the story that ends. So we left 3 days before Hurricane Sandy. Why did you tell us that?
I don't think that's a fair comparison.
Now, you say, was Nightmare Alley part of the marathon that you mm-hmm. just went through?
Yes, sir.
Is that really the setting in which you can judge whether the movie's too long? When you're up for 26 hours watching movies?
Well, sure, yeah. They pulled a fast one a few years ago in the Butnumathon. The last movie was Che, the 4.5-hour...
Oh, God, the Steven Soderbergh Che? Oh, my.
Yes, that was the last movie. After being up all night, they had to watch a 4.5-hour movie about... with what's-his-name. And so that was kind of a bummer for them. But for me, it worked out pretty nicely. Like I was the most tired when Rollerball came on, mm-hmm. and the original Settle Down, and I got through that okay because I'd seen it already. I was already familiar with it, and then the next few movies were like, these great things we got to see. So it was sweet.
Okay.
Right, Anthony?
I feel like that story took 26 hours.
You're hanging on every word. But it was 48 frames per second, so that must have been fascinating to you. I don't know what to recommend, how people should see this Hobbit, like 2D, 3D, IMAX.
I don't think you can see it in 2D. I think 3D is kind of an imperative, whether you see it in IMAX or 24 frames or 48 frames. Those are the three choices. But I believe they're all in 3D. But I didn't mind the 3D. That hyper-reality, I don't know, like you, it was like watching like the Super Bowl on a high-def TV set or something.
Yeah, it's weird looking.
Yeah, odd.
I'm going to go with a fourth choice and say cable.
Yeah, well. Yeah. Where you can take the nap you'll be wanting to take in the theater. But I got bored twice as fast at 48 frames per second, so that may have, you know...
Oh, Leonard. How do you do it? Every time. Let's just pick a review at random and read it out loud. You can say whether or not you wrote it.
What does he say about Debbie Does Dallas?
I don't think that's in here, Anthony.
It didn't make the cut.
No, just
yeah, it didn't have enough not bad hardcore in it.
That is some not bad hardcore.
If you wrote a book where you just reviewed porno movies throughout history, it would be the highest selling book.
Well, this is why I don't have a commercial orientation. See, this is
what about a book where you just review other people's reviews?
Ah, well, that's called the internet.
Let's see what you wrote about Romeo and Juliet. Romeo and Juliet. Cute, sometimes clever, film for kids. Looks good, but never develops its story and characters as fully as one might like. You just sit there going, I might like this to be better.
Yeah, pretty much.
Songs, both old and new, by executive producer Elton John and Bernie Taupin. So that's a 2.5.
Yeah.
Like, giving out the stars seems like that would be difficult.
It is hard, because it's so arbitrary. Same as Fresh or Rotten on Rotten Tomatoes. Most movies are somewhere in the middle. The majority of movies that I see are not great and not terrible. They're somewhere in that mid-range. And
they're called playing for keeps.
And that's right. And there's a lot of those kind of movies. And some of them edge a little bit more toward good, and some of them edge a little more toward bad. But they're not extreme. Every producer I've ever worked for in television, every editor I've ever worked for says, people want you, they want to know what you really feel. And I said, well, that's what I really feel. No, you got to feel it more. They want you to hate it. They want you to love it. That's what they think people respond to. But I think being honest is a better way to go.
You know what's interesting, Doug, is that there are two other people on this podcast.
All right, so what's your approach to reviewing films? Does anyone reindeer for games? It's the holidays.
Oh, that's a thing?
So I say it that weird way. Let's play the game we all know and love, because he's here.
What's it called?
Build a Titan. No. let's just play the Leonard Maltin game.
All right.
Yeah, let's do it. So I ask each of my guests at this point in the show to go pick a player that they would like to play for from the audience, and bring the name tag back to your seat. Rob is always really good at this.
Not very good. People don't like it when I play for them because they don't want to fucking lose.
Oh, Jude loves movies and a big thing of cookies or something. It's a frisbee over there if you're into that sort of thing. Oh, two down, one to go. Come on, Rob. That lady's coat. I like that shirt. Is that a shirt? This is Bat Sam on it? A jacket? All right. Oh, look at that, a goblet. Wow. Joshua's goblet. Okay, so Rob is playing for Joshua, who scribbled his name on a souvenir from medieval
gross,
times.
Has anything gross ever been in this goblet?
No.
Why was there a weird pause?
Maybe. Who are you playing for, Anthony?
I am playing for Emily, who gave me, it's a teddy bear from IKEA that says, it's got a thing on it, it says, buy a soft toy, help educate a kid. I imagine if you have kids, they're dumb as shit.
Okay, so Emily. Thank you, Emily.
Yes.
What?
Emily.
Emily, yes, Emily. And Leonard, please be nicer to the... to who you're playing for.
Well, I can only be nice to someone named Zed because they've done their post-it note on a poster for La Grande Illusion, the great Jean Renoir film. So, classic movie like that caught my eye.
You knew Leonard was going to be here, right, Zed?
That's over there.
That was pretty sneaky of you.
Over there.
Nice work, Zed. Because no other guests I've had in the history of the show would care about that movie and pick that name tag. He really nailed it. So good luck. Anybody can win. Like I said earlier, Anthony's my pick.
There's no fucking way.
I buried you the last time we played together.
You got so lucky.
I buried you.
So lucky. You got two things and zero clues.
You got unlucky by being on the show with me.
Not this time, man. I have Joshua's fart cup right here.
All right. I don't really go in for that sort of. All right. We'll let Leonard pick the first category. Would you like at Mayor of Farttown suggested? Suggested Alex Crossdresser, and that's Madea films, the Madea movies.
And what other categories do we have?
We've also got
racist.
Kate Witko. Kate Witko suggested Love Actually, which is movies where the actors in the film are married in real life. Or at Tim Vargulish suggested No Time for Love, Dr. Jones. And that's movies where Harrison Ford does not have sex.
I think I'll go for the second choice, the married
married in real life. Yep. All right, so this has got a couple in it that's married in real life. And we'll start with you, and then we'll go to Anthony over
there. Wait, I'm sorry, just to clarify, they're still married or they were married at the time of the movie?
At the time of the movie, okay. You know, in a game devised by someone who's probably high. Gotcha. So keep that in mind. All right, so we'll go to you second, Anthony, and then we'll go to... how many times have you been on the show, Rob?
My name's Rob Hebel.
No, but how many times have you been on?
I don't know, like
20, 'cause I was going to throw in like 27-time loser.
check the record, man. I think I've won.
1966 is the year of this film, mm-hmm. in which two of the people in it are actually married, and Mr. Maltin gave that movie 3.5 stars. And Leonard, you said about it that it is that it broke Hollywood taboos, mm-hmm. and then you also said that it was a first time director, and you listed four names. Mm-hmm. How many names do you think you could tell us the name of this movie?
Well, this is just a present. This is a nice Hanukkah present for me.
You picked the category. I can do this
in zero names.
Zero names.
I've got to say, it's like it's almost like you're asking a senile man questions about his own family. And we've got to compete with you.
Almost.
Almost. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. This isn't about his family. Yeah.
But he wrote the fucking.
How do we go negative?
I really don't know. That's why I went for married.
Anthony
couples.
Can go
I would
negative.
Believe you if you didn't just say zero names.
Do you think you have? Do you think you have an idea what it is, Anthony?
I have no idea.
Okay, so you just have to say name it. We'll move
yeah,
on.
Yeah, name that movie, please.
What's it called, Leonard?
Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf?
That's correct. Yeah.
Because it's Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton, and the first time director was Mike Nichols. Mm-hmm. So.
And it crossed my mind when I was putting this in here that, oh, it'd be fun if Leonard happened to get this one because, you know, this is
it may be the last one. Yeah.
That was fun.
Okay, so who sat that one out? Rob.
Me.
You get to pick. You get to pick
totally
the next
screwed.
Category. You get to go first, buddy.
All right.
All right.
Movies then, with Lindsay Lohan playing Elizabeth Taylor. All right, I'm ready.
You get to pick a category, and then we go to Anthony to turn the direction around. Would you like In Theaters Now? That's movies that are in theaters now. Might also be somewhat of a gimme for Leonard since he wrote the review a day or two ago. Here's one for you. Doug loves Goonies. That's movies that feature cast members from the movie Goonies.
Right.
Comma the. Or at Wiggly Wigs suggested Molar Express. That's movies that have dentists in them.
That one.
You like the dentist one? All right, there's a dentist in this movie from 2008. Leonard and his peeps give it 3 stars. He says the main character is acerbic, and he also says that the movie is funny and heartfelt. And he lists 9 names.
Do you remember if you wrote that?
How many? You can't ask questions.
What do you mean?
That's also a question.
Can you read again what you read before?
I will read it all again for you. 3 stars.
Because I saw this movie.
3 stars from Leonard. Dentists is the category. 2008. An acerbic character. Movie's funny and heartfelt. 9 names. How many?
Really, Leonard, it was really funny. You really thought it was funny?
I say this from time to time, whether or not I agree. I agree with Leonard on this one.
I can name this movie in 5 names. I'm just trying to make it fun,
Anthony?
Man.
What's up, Holmes?
How does that make it fun?
This guy. Why don't you do me a solid, name that movie.
All right,
here's your 5 names.
Come on, Fart Chalice.
Brian Darcy James, that's 3.
Wait, what order are you going in? This is like the background waiter's names.
We go from the bottom as we do all 27 times you've been on the show. Brian Darcy James.
Yeah.
Alan Ruck. Asif Manvi.
Asif Manvi from The Daily Show?
Yeah, that guy. Right. Dana Ivey and Kristen Wiig. Are your 5 names.
Everybody here knows it.
Good luck. You have 5 seconds. 3, 2, 1.
Wait a second.
5.
How much time do I have?
4. You have 5 seconds.
Give me the names again. Asaf. Pronounce Asaf's name right, first of all.
Okay, Asaf.
That would make it clearer for me.
Okay. Alan Ruck.
Alan Ruck.
Brian Darcy James. Dana Ivey. Kristen Wiig. 4 names remaining in this movie that has a dentist in it.
I'm ready.
Say it.
The dentist.
Point goes to Anthony. The film is called Ghost Town with Ricky Gervais. Ghost Town.
Oh, no one saw that movie.
He was a dentist, and it was funny, and it was heartfelt.
Is this a movie when he's walking around and he's saying stuff?
Yeah. That's the one.
Greg Kinnear is a ghost. Yeah. And he needs Ricky Gervais, the dentist, to help him.
Yeah, well,
and it's really good.
It's a funny movie.
Yeah, I liked it. we'll start with you again, Leonard.
I can't believe I blew that. Sorry, Joshua.
Wait, how come I don't get to start?
By the way, Joshua.
You just got the point.
Joshua has brain cancer, okay? That's who I'm playing for.
Maybe you should give him his helmet back.
This helmet protects his brain from the cancer cells.
It's not working.
All right, so what's
okay,
the score?
Okay, so Leonard gets to pick a category. The score is 1 for Leonard and 1 for Anthony.
You've How many
got,
for
you've
me?
You got a catch-up, Rob. You're still at 0. But you have a chance here because Leonard's going to start and then it's going to come to you. And Leonard gets to pick between at F+, suggested human centipede. And that's movies with multiple Santas.
With multiple Santas?
Multiple Santas in them.
Okay.
Yeah, for some reason or another. Play Misty for Me is movies that they played on Mystery Science Theater 3000. Mm-hmm. Or in theaters, Hey Now, the films of Jeffrey Tambor or Gary Shandling.
Those are all good.
Applause for that one.
You.
Hey, man. I like those guys.
Which one of those do you like, Leonard?
None, but let's say...
let's say you had to pick one.
If I had to pick... Well, let's try multiple Santas. We'll do something seasonal.
Thank you. I appreciate it. The year is 1983. Mm-hmm. 2.5 stars from you. You said that this movie has a fine cast... And then you also says that...
You also says?
Yes. You says that the lead performer in this movie, it's that person's second film. And there are 13 names listed. How many names do you think you can get it in?
I wasn't even born in 1983.
I'll say ten names.
It's a good, strong opening bid. Rob is making a face.
This is to me?
Now it's to you, yes, sir.
Why not idiot head over here? Wait, now if I say nine names, does he get to go name that movie again and force me into it? Or is it just between me and him?
Pretend Anthony isn't here.
Okay, good.
No, it's going to go to Anthony next. Yeah, that's how it works.
All right.
Same as it ever was.
I know he's going to say, make me. Look at him. He's like the devil.
I can't.
Staring at
me. I cannot wait.
What did you say? 10 names?
10.
All right. 13.
Just make up a number. Doesn't matter.
I can name it in five names. I know this one. I totally know it. 83, I was sitting there in the theater watching it. Super psyched at all the Santas. Can't wait. I knew it would pay off someday.
I'm starting to wonder if I'm right about the Santas. I'm pretty sure.
Well, that's good enough for me.
There's at least one.
How many stars did you get again?
Good question. 2.5.
2.5, okay.
Why is that a good question?
For a second, I thought I knew it, and I was going to guess it on zero names just to fucking strut.
You know do I mean? It. Please do that.
And plus, it would tie the game up so we could keep playing. We've got time.
Go for
but,
it.
What? If you get it right, that doesn't tie the game up. You win.
Let him think
if
that.
I get it wrong, it ties the game up.
Oh, sure.
But now it's 2.5 stars. I don't think I'm right.
Come on, man.
And it's just a chance. I don't get a lot of chances to embarrass Rob like
no,
this.
No, you know it. You know this. You know this movie. You have seen this. It's a Christmas classic.
I do like the three-way tie thing. We've got 4 minutes left. We've got time for another round.
Dude, it's
okay.
A Christmas.
I think 4 minutes is just enough time for me to say Rob Hubel. Name that move.
Damn it. All right, Josh.
We do know he's
going to
think about it for a few minutes.
All right. Well, how many names did I say?
Five names.
All right, give them to me.
Okay. You have a chance.
Dude, I know this.
Bill Cobbs.
Huh, I thought you were going to say Cobbsby.
Santa Claus! What's Bill Cosby's best movie, do you think, Leonard?
Probably
Uptown
Saturday
Night. You have
to go way
back, right? Oh, yeah. Uptown Saturday Night. Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty good, right? Mm-hmm.
Because
he made some clunkers
loved
in his
it.
Later...
I would have loved it if you had said films. Leonard Part 6.
Or Ghost Dad.
Yeah.
Okay. Tom Davis, Al Franken, Alfred Drake, and James Belushi.
Fuck.
Are the five names on the bottom of 13 names in this movie that might have multiple Santas.
Can you say the names again, please?
2.5 stars. Bill Cobbs...
Cobbsby.
Franken and Davis.
Franken and Davis? They're a team? But they're billed as one?
I'm just saying that's who they are.
Yeah.
Alfred Drake and James Belushi.
I call him Jim.
Jimmy B.
What Christmas movie did James Belushi do? Fucking shit, man. I'm so glad I don't have brain cancer. In 83, do you know
the name
Leonard?
Of Shithead? That'll be fun for
I'm
you.
I'm not talking.
Oh, I think I might know too.
No. You're so, both of you are such dicks. Scrooged? I don't know. I don't know.
That's not a terrible guess. That probably has more than one Santa in
That's
it.
What I would have guessed.
Yeah, yeah.
It's got so many fucking
no,
Santas.
No, tell me if I'm wrong, but... But Trading Places had a bunch of Santas in it, right? Just one? Just Dan Aykroyd dressed as one? Didn't he have to get the suit from somebody? An actual Santa?
On the train, there might have been more. On the train, there might have been. Oh, you know, up right before they throw Mama.
Anyway, I apologize if that was a mislead.
Why is everybody making fun of my voice? Why'd that guy get in a microphone?
But yeah, of course, Dan Aykroyd and Eddie Murphy and Trading Places.
Wait, Leonard, would you have gotten that?
Was that no. the answer, no. Trading Places?
No, I just had that whole conversation.
Well,
because it's Scrooged! We've got a...
Well, you did that about fucking White Heat for
time.
40 minutes.
I'm on top of the world, Ma! Oh, that guy, well, that guy wanted the world.
Can we just take a moment?
And he got it.
I won the game.
No.
Can we take a moment to admit that I just walked into Leonard Maltin's house? And fucked everything
he's
he
He's got
owns.
Family. Oh.
Everything he owns.
His family.
I put my dick in it.
His daughter,
in front of his family, they're
his
here.
His daughter's here.
They're looking at me.
This is upsetting.
Oh, my God. I said, who would you like me to have on the show with you, Leonard? And he's like, I trust your judgment.
So get the guy from What to Expect When You're Expecting.
And no, you guys were having a nice conversation backstage about The Descendants. You were both being sincere with one another. About
that's before the competition began.
That's right.
Yeah, right. That's when things got heated. Well, Leonard, you gave it a great you got a point. You know, that's better
it's
than
a start.
One of the other players.
It's a start.
I got distracted, and, man.
So who you were playing for? Joshua?
The guy with brain cancer.
Joshua. Joshua, can you come up here and as your dying wish...
Tell us about your cancer.
I will call anyone you want a shithead, but Joshua, come up here and write down who you want me to call a shithead on this paper, please.
You don't really have brain cancer, do you, buddy? That's good. See, now you're immune from brain cancer because we joked about it. And the universe would never give it to you. Sorry, man.
Oh, you shook hands with everybody? No, I don't think so.
Just rude.
There's no reason to deny that, but both of my hands were full.
Very rude.
And I've got a show to wrap up. We're a minute over. Apologies to whatever's going next.
It's a benefit for Josh's brain cancer.
Here's your prizes, Emily. And oh, don't forget Leonard Maltin's 2000 Two Oceans 13 movie guide. There you go. Congratulations. Anything else to plug besides the book and the app?
And we're an ebook now. We're available for Kindle or for a Nook, first time ever. And it's working out pretty well. So the book is out there in many forms. And the iPhone app is still there. And the classic movie guide is also available for people who are addicted
may
to...
I?
Yes,
hold
you
that
may.
One up. That's a whole separate book.
Yeah, let's hold that one up. Why am I holding it up?
For people who are watching the podcast.
they can't see that I have a book
because,
in my
because
hand.
Because I am the editor of a classic movie guide, I take the moment to say, what he says is, made it, Ma, top of the world.
Oh, Lord.
Zing. Zing. You stay down, Benson.
Just got to... famous quote, got to get it right.
Oh, my God. Next time you're on, Rob, I'll make it a little easier for you, and we'll use the classic.
Please.
Because I think you'll fare better. Oh, that's going to be great. I'm just going to whip this out from time to time and make people play it. That'll be awesome. Thank you for bringing that. And Rob, what do you got coming up? Children's Hospital, more of that?
Yeah, we just started shooting that. Yep, season 5. Great. Thank you. Yep. And then I'll plug Anthony's specials or whatever he plugged.
Yeah, plug everything until April.
All right, I'll do that.
Do it.
And I'll plug Leonard's weed because it got me fucked up.
Always with the excuses you are. And Anthony, you got all your plugs in earlier.
I just want to plug this episode. Listen to it again, because I just fucking rocked it.
You really stepped up, as expected, and as always.
Can the three of us take our shirts off? Just for the people watching
the
podcast.
Just for the photo?
For the people watching the podcast. No, I don't really want to do that.
Please, one more time for Anthony Jeselnik and Rob Hubel, Mr. Leonard Maltin. I'm going to get a picture of you guys. right after I say, as always, Rod Serling is a shithead, and Los Angeles Public Transit is a shithead.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, 'cause Doug loves movies.